It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to the Big House Bleachers Podcast.
Welcome to the Big House Bleachers Podcast, proud member of the Block M Podcast Network, brought to you by Fans First Sports. I'm Michael Smeltzer. I'm here with Matt Hartwell. And Matt, it was a relatively quiet week for Michigan football news. And I'm going to go ahead and say it, around this time of year, quiet is good, right? Like, no news is kind of good news at this point. The coaching staff has been assembled. Not too many players have left, but we got a few things to talk about. But anyway, how was your week, man? How you doing?
It was good. And particularly for this week, Mike, quiet was great. I had my daughter's birthday, and then subsequently her birthday party, which is a whole event in itself. So it was a welcomed quiet, at least for this week for me, my friend. But, you know, other than that, I know we've got some great topics to talk about here on the pod that still kind of go along with some of the happenings in college football this week.
Man, as you know, it was also my daughter's birthday this week, so we have very close birthdays in the family. And then I will be having another birthday in the family soon. We don't even know when. My son will be born any day now. I told my wife right before we started recording, I go, you can come interrupt the podcast if you go into labor. And she was like, yeah, no shit, I'm gonna interrupt the podcast if I go into labor. So if you guys see me just get up and run out of the room, just assume that my son is in the process of being born.
And just so the viewers know, we will let it run. Like, we will just let that pod run and publish with all of that happening in it. So,
oh, absolutely. If I have to deliver the baby, like, live on the pod, you guys are just going to have to deal with it. But let's talk some football, man. You know, I tell you what, do you want to talk basketball?
Yeah, you know, I tuned into that.
I thought you were going to say no. I was trying to just wind you up with, I thought you were going to be like, no, and we were just going to move on. But yeah, let's talk basketball. Michigan played Purdue today. I kind of hung with them a little bit. Did you watch the game at all?
I did, you know, and that's kind of why I was willing to kind of give my two cents about it, because I thought, you know, I thought that this was one of the better played games for Michigan when,
It
you
was.
consider all things. You know, they're going up against number three in the nation, Purdue. They put up a pretty good effort, you know, with Olivier Nkamwa not able to be in attendance because of that injury issue. But, you know, I thought they played an entertaining basketball game. There's still plenty of things, you know, negative to take away from it, as is the case with all Michigan basketball games. But hats off to them today. You know, I have no disrespect for the handling of today's matchup against Purdue.
Well, Jalen Llewellyn was out. Olivier Nkamwa was out. A couple guys got in foul trouble early. So we were playing so shorthanded. Dudes were fouling out by the end of the game. Purdue's already kind of a matchup nightmare. I had a feeling we were going to hang with them at home, honestly. Like, it was just one of those weird games where it was like, you know what, we're going to hang with these guys with Doug McDaniel playing. Juwan Howard looked a little spicy out there, looked like he was getting some of his mojo back. You know, the announcers have said in the last couple games that he's finally feeling like himself after that heart surgery, and it's easy to forget that this dude had open heart surgery at the beginning of the season, so he probably hasn't been feeling like himself this year. So I'm not giving him a pass entirely on like the product that's been placed in Chrysler Arena in front of all 12 fans that are still going to Michigan basketball games. But with that being said, I still love the man, and I want Juwan, you know, to do well and be healthy and field a good product. So yeah, they played decent. It wasn't good enough to win. They're going to have single digit wins this year for the first time in God knows how long. So
I'm certainly not Don Thomas on the hill of Juwan Howard needs another year at the University of Michigan. But that being said, I've been very critical of him this year. I will be, you know, a little bit easy on him whenever they're able to play a complete basketball game like they were nearly able to do tonight. So a little bit of respect their way, but ultimately, you know, something needs to change.
Well, there's some pieces. I just hope that they can build around some of those pieces, but it's just not the year to be talking about Michigan basketball. So let's talk about something a little bit more exciting. Let's talk about football. Michigan lost their head ball coach, Jim Harbaugh, after the national championship season. You're rocking the locker room natty hat right now. I have the same hat. I love it.
Natty Hattie. It's
been a Natty Hattie, great year for Michigan football, but we lost the head ball coach. Sherrone Moore comes in, and along with that change, NCAA rules allow for players to have a 30-day window where it's basically open season for them on the transfer portal. And that rule is designed if, you know, players commit or have already committed and are on a team where the coach leaves, it gives them an opportunity to change where they're at, which is, it's fair, right? Because the leadership is changing. Why shouldn't the players? Well, Sherrone Moore only lost one key contributor. There were a couple players that hit the transfer portal, but really only one that matters, right? Keon Sabb, backup safety, but not really even a backup. I mean, we could call him starting safety because he's a starting caliber player. That was the big hit. That was the big surprise. That was tough. But when you back up and you look at this thing from 30,000 feet and you say, okay, Sherrone Moore not only lost, he not only became the new head coach, but he also lost a majority of his coaching staff. The fact that only one player left it says a lot about Sherrone, the trust that the team has in him, and the guys that he hired to step in to coach these players, because as of right now, and things could change, there's still another window later after spring ball, but as it stands right now, Keon Sabb's the only real loss that we've had.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike, you and I have been on this train for the last couple weeks, you know, with this whole Harbaugh portal having opened and this whole new time period in place for players to essentially bail if they so choose to. You know, there hasn't been anybody for the last couple weeks aside from Keon Sabb, which nothing taken away from him. He was an outstanding player this year that made several key impacts over the course of the season. But at the end of the day, you know, he's a replaceable option, that he's a replaceable starting option that can be covered up among what they have now with Rod Moore and Mekhari Page. So it's not an overly concerning loss. And on top of that, you know, the Michigan social media account posts like showing all the camaraderie among the teammates. Like, they just posted something on Friday that all of them went to the bowling alley. You see Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, everybody out there having a good time. Like, I don't think that there's any smoke to, like, anybody trying to start any rumors about, you know, people leaving Michigan. And, you know, you saw that to be true with this closing of the first transfer portal window. And I think it says a lot for Sherrone Moore and these additions that he's made to his staff and these steps that he's taken to ensure that all of those guys that I just mentioned are comfortable with this staff. So, you know, hats off to the man. He's done a bang up job.
Yeah, I agree, but I'll tell you where this team can get in trouble a little bit if they don't go make some additions to the portal. It's really depth, right? And that's where Keon Sabb was going to be a huge contributor. We saw last year in the national championship season, there were games early in the year where we didn't have Will Johnson. We didn't have Rod Moore. You know, that's why Keon Sabb got those snaps. And without him, we would have been leaning on, you know, the Zeke Berrys of the world who... I'm very high on Zeke Berry, actually, but I think we all know that he probably wasn't ready last year. Well, now coming into the next season, there's going to be some other guys that we don't know if they're ready or not. We don't have the depth on this team that we used to have. Is Mason Graham a stud? Yeah. Is Will Johnson a stud? Yeah. Kenneth Grant, Donovan Edwards, like, those guys are not question marks. We know who they are, but the question marks this year are that next level. And so if Michigan has some injuries or, you know, trouble staying healthy, or, you know, somebody gets banged up in the game, we want to know, is the depth there? And so that's where the Keon Sabb transfer was really tough. But when it's all said and done, if we only lost one guy like that, now, you know, there's what's-his-face, the Benedict Arnold that went over to Ohio State, but he wasn't really.
I've already forgotten his name. We were just talking about him last week. I couldn't even remember his name. We were just talking about the portal a minute ago, so that just goes to show.
Well, that's the thing. He wasn't. I mean, Velasquez. He was gonna get a few snaps, but he wasn't gonna be a playmaker. And now he's just an enemy. But Keon Sabb, we wish him well. But it's a tough loss. So. You know, in other news, NCAA college football news, there was a story that broke that said that there's a potential for expanding to a 14-team playoff. Did you see this, Matt?
Yeah, I did see a little bit of talk of that earlier this week.
And so, it's no surprise, right? They're just talking about expanding, but I'm of the opinion that an 8-team playoff would have been perfect. In college football, you don't need a 64-team or 68-team March Madness field like in college basketball. In college football, the BCS was tough because you had the number 3 and 4 teams sitting there. Like, you know, it could be an undefeated conference champion. So the BCS championship game, when it was only 2, that wasn't good enough. It was a step up from it being voted on, but that wasn't good enough. So then we went to the 4-team playoff. It was better, but there's still controversy around. You got an undefeated Florida State last year, or a one-loss Georgia last year that really, you know, had a pretty good argument that they could have been. I'm not saying they were, but they could have been the best team in the country, and that really goes out the window when you start getting past team number 8. In my opinion, you get an 8-team playoff on the field. Team number 9 can't sit there and be like, yeah, but we're the best team. It's like, no, you're not. You're either a one-loss Central Florida or like a 3-loss LSU. And it's like, at that point, you can't say you're the best team in the country. So to me, they overshot the mark by doing a 12-team playoff. And now they're already talking about pushing it to 14. I think it's too much. I think 8 is the sweet spot. But I'm not one of these guys that's going to bitch about more football. I will watch it. I'll get my popcorn out. I will be happy and I will enjoy it How do you feel about it?
I'm kind of the same mindset, Mike. I'm also of the belief, though, that like they need to just let one of these scenarios that they've already voted on and decided upon play out and let us make a decision upon there, right? I mean, essentially, we're in a situation right now where we're going from four teams into this unforeseen territory that we've never been in before as college football fans. So, you know, I think let's just see what happens with this 12 team, you know, and it just, that's the thing. It's also just jumping from four to 12. So when you hear 14, it kind of just makes you want to stop and smell the roses a little bit with what's already been decided upon. Because at this point, you've got all this hype that's almost growing stale to an extent because they're just trying to keep adding all these things and making all these adjustments to this thing that we're already like set to be pretty excited about, you know? So I'm kind of just of the belief that, you know, like it is what it is. It is what we've decided that it's going to be going forward. Now let's see how this year plays out. And then if you feel like you need to make a decision again, then I guess maybe that's a conversation for the next year. But until then, like, let's just play out this 12-team model that everybody's already gotten all excited about and see how that goes.
Yeah, you make a good point, Matt. It's like they're talking about going to 14. It's like we haven't even seen 12 yet, right? Like, and
you just
like,
got
good
selling me on 12. Like, at this point, right. It kind of gets old, the repetitive, like, but wait, there's more. You know, it's like that annoying salesman that's like the car dealership trying to get you to buy something and they've already sold you and they just keep overselling the product. Like, that's what it feels like.
It's that guy from the Flex Seal commercials that like puts duct tape on the bottom of a boat. That's like, what about 14 teams? What about 16? No, I'm with you, man. But I think, where do you think it ends? Like, 16 is a nice round number. There would be no buys in a 16-team playoff, but it does seem like 16 is going to be the spot that they settle on, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's where we're destined to eventually end up, you know, because any more than that just seems like it would be a ridiculous amount of teams. And at that point, you're essentially playing a second season because – you know, college football and college basketball are not the same. You know, you want to expand it to include all of these teams, but that type of model just isn't. I mean, it's sufficient to have more teams like what they're attempting to do, but, you know, it's overkill up to a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, 12 is enough, man. Like, who was the 13th ranked team in the country last year? AP poll. Let me see if I can get it up fast enough here. Oh, that's basketball. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Like, you got, like, I think my example of like a three loss LSU is a good point, right? It's like a team drops three games, or like a USC or somebody like that. You know, I know that they kind of fell off the map, or maybe like an Oklahoma last year. It's like those teams don't belong in the playoff at that point. If you can't go and like win, you know, at least 10, 11 games and get yourself near your conference championship, or if you're like one of these mid-major teams, if you don't run the table, then you don't really deserve to be in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting. I think we will land on 16. That's just my guess, but I don't know. It's fun. I'm still not a naysayer. I'm not one of these traditionalists. It's like, oh, I want to go back to the old days. It's like, no. I don't want to go back to Michigan and Nebraska splitting championships and like ties and stuff like that. Like, I think people that want to go back to that are just romanticizing the past and don't remember that, like, what we have now is better. It's better than that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the idea of eight was really cool before we even expanded to this model, you know, and then, you know, 12 got thrown in the mix in the pre-discussions of all of that. And I was like, okay, 12 could be cool. You know, but like we've already said, you know, at a certain point, it's just a little too much. Just let us have the deal that you've already sold us on now. Let us enjoy it. Let us see how we like it. and then maybe try to make it bigger and better. But I mean, at this point, before we've even played any of the current models that have been decided on and thrown out up to this point, like, it just seems like something that's not even real. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's move on from the playoff discussion. We will get to see it on the field eventually, 12 team this year, and then perhaps 14 a year or two after that. In other news, and this kind of leads into our main exercise for the podcast, EA Sports appears to be for real this time. They're bringing back college football. They're bringing back the college football game. I've noticed they're calling it EA Sports College Football 25 and not EA Sports NCAA 25. Just a little insight there. The NCAA is kind of getting nudged out, and I think EA Sports sees it, and they're not trying to hitch themselves to that wagon. But nevertheless, EA Sports has announced that they're working on the college football game. We've seen Chris Fowler and some people, you know, doing their overdubs for it, and you know, players are there's a couple different camps in the players NIL arena, because EA Sports has proclaimed that they'll offer $600 to use the name, image, and likeness of each player that they use in the game. And so the players have an opportunity to opt in or opt out. And a lot of people are saying that that's a slap in the face to the players, that they're only offering $600. After all, these players, some of them are able to go out and get multi-million dollar contracts. Why would they want to be a part of this game for $600? Well, that's a good point, but you got to look at this a couple of different ways. How many college football players are there in the country? And then you multiply that by 600. That's a hell of a lot of money that EA Sports is shelling out right from the get-go. So they can't go give every single player $10,000, nor would it be realistic for them to work out a separate contract based on a player's like valuation. Like, they don't have time for that shit. They're not going to get the game out in time if we do that. So the reason I think players are going to opt in to this game is one simple reason. It's not for the $600, even though that's nice. It's because it's super freaking cool to have yourself be a part of this awesome video game. Like, why would you opt out? You know, and we saw Alex Orji posted on his Instagram. He opted in, and I was like, let's go. Because, you know, those are the kinds of players that you want to play with in this EA Sports college football game. And so, Matt, I don't know if you have a different opinion on the $600 thing, but that's my take. It's like, you know, take your $600 and just enjoy being a part of a cultural movement. You know, I would do anything to have myself be on this game. You know, just enjoy it.
That's what I'm screaming about, Mike. I mean, you and I and people of our generation, you know, we spent years coming up in our parents' basements playing NCW, you know what I mean? Like, creating yourself on the game, as well as like Madden and all of the other sports franchise games. Like, it was your dream to be one of those motherfuckers on the video screen, you know what I mean? Being able to be played at. So in my mind, like, you're already accomplishing a huge milestone in being able to be a playable figure on that game. But, you know, in addition to that, I think we're just kind of splitting hairs here. It's not like one player itself makes the game, you know, and you've already alluded to, you have to think how many like players are involved in this game with that $600. I think collectively, you know, you split $600 up amongst like all of college football, I think it's a pretty fair price tag to put on each of their inclusion in like such a large game itself. So I don't know, man. I think it's bullshit. I think they all just need to opt in. It's a legendary opportunity for a game that's coming back to make a lot of people really happy and excited. So I think they just need to opt in and stop bitching and moaning about the amount. I think it's a perfectly valid amount for such a thing.
Yeah, and I don't want to be misconstrued saying like, oh, the players don't have a right to ask for more. It's like, no, they actually do. It's like, it's your name. You worked hard. You can go negotiate your deals. I'm all for players playing hardball with their money. I mean, I respect that, actually. But I just think you have to view this more like a collective. You know, this is not, it's not realistic to say, to pull like a Caleb Williams and be like, well, I want 5% ownership in the whole freaking game if you're going to use my name. It's like, no. It's a collective agreement. If you are a star and you can make more money off your name, that's cool. You're going to go do that in some other areas. Why not build your brand by allowing EA Sports to use your name within this agreement? So you and I are on the same page here. Like, it would be cool to just have everybody in the game. Clearly, there's going to be some people that opt out. I don't think there should, but that's their right, and that's fine. It'll be interesting to see if EA Sports goes to a, I'm just making this up, but like a Shedeur Sanders or somebody like that, and says like, oh, we'll give you more than $600. But that'll open the floodgates, right? Then you'll have a guy that's like mid-season tearing it up and is like, tries to pull himself out and tries to negotiate a higher rate. And so, I'm glad the video game is coming back. And actually, we have an exercise we're going to do that relates to Michigan football. We're going to do the NCAA player ratings. But before we get into that, I just want to make a brief announcement here. So as you remember, Jim Harbaugh, he had his motto, right? Attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. Well, our new head ball coach, the leader of men, Sharon Moore, rallies the maize and blue troops with one simple phrase. You know what that phrase is, Matt?
Smash, brother.
Smash. It's just smash. He's an offensive lineman guy. And so I wanted to announce that on WolverineChronicle.com, we have the Smash Collection, and I'm doing our Big House Bleachers podcast listeners a favor. If they go on to WolverineChronicle.com/shop and use the promo code BHB20, they can get 20% off their Smash Collection shirts. We got several other products coming out, but right now there's the super soft light fabric shirts available online. So go to WolverineChronicle.com/shop or hit the link in the description and use promo code BHB20 for 20% off. Enough of that, though. Let's move on. Let's smash some player ratings with EA Sports in mind. So in honor of the new video game coming out, we're going to go back and forth and present, we'll challenge each other to come up with some player ratings for the new video game as it relates to the Michigan football team. Matt, I assume you're a little bit more prepared than I am, but I'm going to let you throw one at me first just so I can cut my teeth on this. So I guess the exercise is you'll say the player, I'll give them an overall rating, and then I'll try to back it up with some you and I both have the list of attributes that NCAA uses when they're building the overall rating. And so we'll try to at least back it up with some of those attributes as well.
Absolutely. We'll enlighten our viewers a little bit of what these attributes are and their definition and all that good stuff. So I'll start you off with the easy one. How about Donovan Edwards? Give me what you think of Dono and what he would look like. He's actually somebody that has opted in to the game up to this point, so it doesn't hurt for us to give a little preview of Dono's capabilities and what we think those would look like.
And so I want to preface this whole exercise by saying I'm not going to just be like, oh, it's a Michigan guy, 99, 99, 98. It's like I have to think about how EA Sports is actually going to do these, and then I'll add a little bit of my bias into it. Like, I think a guy that is like an overall 85 is like a really good player, right? Like, I think we have to remember that. A really good player is 85. And there's guys that, like, Johnny Manziel back in the 14 game, he was like a 97, right? And so, like, the dudes that are winning the Heisman aren't even 99s. sometimes. So I want to preface by saying that.
And we could also, you know, for those that have seen, it's kind of rumored that Will Johnson is set to be viewed as a 99 overall on the game. That's kind of the rumor. I don't know if that's true or what that actually entails, but we'll kind of use that as a benchmark. You know, if five-star Will Johnson made a ton of plays, played a ton of ball last year, is a 99, what do we view these other players as on Michigan's roster?
I don't trust that account that tweeted that out, by the way. That's I can't remember his name. If you listen to the show, I think it's Till Daddy or Trill Daddy or so, is one of these Michigan accounts out there. It's something he just tweets shit to get people riled up, like he has inside information. He was the one that was tweeting that Will Johnson's the highest overall graded player in the entire game this season.
Oh, I'm not talking about that post. There was another post that looked a little more official with a graphic.
Okay.
Okay. It might have come from like PFF even. I don't know, but it definitely was from Trill Daddy, because I know who you're talking about though.
Yeah, that dude's just like, well, whatever. I don't need to just, he probably does listen, man. We love you, dude. Just stop tweeting false information, please. Okay. So Donovan Edwards, I'm going to go with an overall 92. I think he's going to have, there's an attribute called catch in traffic. Like it's a receiver's ability to make tough catches over the middle in traffic. I think, you know, he'll be the highest rated running back in that category, you know, 95, 96, 97 in that category. Where he might struggle a little bit is, like, ball carrier vision, I think, could be a little lower. And we saw last year his inability to hit the holes. And so ball carrier vision might dip down into the 80s. But is there one that's called, like, breakaway speed or something? Like, I don't see it on the list right off the top of my head. But breakaway speed for him is, like, 99. You know, like, once he does hit the hole, he's gone. So I'm gonna give him a 92 overall with like a ceiling of like, well, his ceiling's as high as anybody's, right? High 90s.
Yeah, you and I actually saw that pretty similarly. The preparation that I did before the show, I think I pegged him a little bit even more objectively at an 89. You know, at coming off of a season where he wasn't his best. You know, and I have the same things that you had. His ability to catch in traffic, but then also his ability to, what was that category that you named that he might struggle with?
Ball carrier vision. Yeah.
Ball carrier vision. He showed a lot of difficulty with this year. You know, if you think of his inability to break away on those long runs up until the TCU game. So I think that, you know, you knock him back a little bit of a peg into the low 90s, high 80s for this upcoming year, but hopefully he'll prove a lot of those doubts wrong.
Yeah, I mean, strength is really good. Strength is a measure that they have on here. There's also, you got to remember, for a guy like him, there's like throwing accuracy and stuff. You know, it's like he's going to be graded high on like those ones too. And the reason why I put him into the 90s is, to me, if you're up into the 90s in a Power 5 conference, then you're like an all-conference player at that point. And then if you're up in the above 95, we're talking like all-American type player. And the reason why I put him in the 90s is because I believe with all the talent leaving, we got to remember Donovan Edwards is like one of the most talented guys in the country coming back. And so I think we're going to see him look like a man amongst boys in a lot of these situations.
Absolutely agree, buddy.
All right. I'm going to just give you a nice little softball pitch to a little underhanded softball pitch, because I know this is a guy you had to think about when we started this exercise. I'm going to give you the guy that could be QB1, Alex Orji.
I love it. I knew you would give me Alex Orji. You know, I put a lot of thought into Alex just because we've seen so little of him up to this point. But, you know, then I started thinking, like, have we seen so little of him? Because he did get quite a bit of run this year, scored 3 rushing touchdowns, you know, also had a rushing touchdown last year and also a little bit of run last year as well. So we've got a little bit of orgy on tape already to kind of dissect heading into this upcoming season. And I've got him pegged right at an 85, Mike. And that's just because I don't know,
I agree.
You know, what he's going to look like throwing the ball. Only completed 1 pass for 5 yards in his Michigan career up to this point. You know, there's legend of him being able to throw the ball just as well as Joe Milton. But, you know, who knows how true that might be. But I've got him at an 85. I think I leaned a lot in his direction with his ability to break tackles. I've got him at right around a 90 as far as that skill set goes. And then a 95 carrying score. And then I also made a note for an 88 in acceleration because he has shown when has the opportunity to get around the corner and get past some defenders, he's going to use it. So I think those are some marks that he really has in his favor. But I just think that there's going to be a lot of unknowns heading into this season with his accuracy, his ability to hit the midfield with his passing and things like that. So it's kind of a wait and see for me as far as that's concerned. But I think a dangerous athlete as far as that game goes.
Yeah, there's a lot of unknowns. I agree with you. So there's one on here, DAC, deep throw accuracy, which is what you just referenced. That's the big question mark for him, right? Or that's the biggest question mark. There's some other things that we haven't seen that I have a feeling he's going to be really good at. Like there's a JMP, which that attribute is jumping. Like, we haven't seen him jump, but I got a feeling that dude can I got a feeling we're going to see him just like jump over the line of scrimmage in a goal line situation. Some other athletic attributes like stiff arm. You know, Alex Orji's got a mean stiff arm. Like, we haven't really seen it, but you know it's in there somewhere. So I'm with you. I think an 85 is a fair score for him. But again, very high ceiling. Very high ceiling for a guy like this. Maybe down the road we'll do some mid-season adjustments on these ratings, and hopefully his is well above an 85.
Absolutely. All right, I'll serve you one back. And I'll try to go easy on you with this one as well. I'm curious what you're going to peg this guy as. The big man, Kenny Grant. Where are you putting him at on the college football spectrum?
Yeah, I think Kenneth Grant heading into this season should probably be one of the highest graded players in the entire game, actually. I'm gonna conservatively give him a 94. But I mean, that's me predicting that basically nobody's above a 97, right? Like if you get to like 98, 99, you're talking about the greatest college football players of all time. And so if Will Johnson is at a 99, then okay, then I put Kenny Grant at like a 97, you know. But I'm gonna just go with the way that I think it should be, which is Kenneth Grant 94, which it puts him right up there in like almost an All-American caliber player. You know, maybe the areas he could improve in, I'm going to try to, so there's a category called play recognition. That's the defender's ability to read the play once the ball is snapped. I'm not saying he's bad at that, but that, like, maybe that's an area he could improve upon. Gosh, man, power move is going to be one of his strong suits. The defender's ability to use a power move to disengage from a run or pass block. Like, yeah, Mason Graham and Kenny Grant, they can do that. I'm going to give him just a straight 99 at PRS, which is the press. Defender's ability to jam. Oh, that's for, never mind. That's for jamming a receiver. I thought that was for jamming at the line of scrimmage. I misread that. You get what I'm saying, though. He's a 99 at hitting dudes on the line of scrimmage, whatever attribute that is.
Absolutely. And that power move that you already referenced, I had him at a 99 for that as well. You know, Mason Graham's ability to disengage and shed those blocks and get to the quarterback and just cause havoc in the offensive backfield. I think that they're going to be a couple of the highest rated guys on the game as far as that's concerned.
I agree. I guess you could say hit power is what I was looking at, but it says the defender's ability to use the hit stick to make a tackle or cause a fumble. And really that makes me think more of like linebacker, like open field hit power. But I think you know what I mean when I'm talking about like big boy on the line of scrimmage, like his ability to just blow a dude up is going to be second to none.
Absolutely. And hit power, you know, the first thing I thought of when I read that attribute was that contested targeting on Mason Graham in the Maryland game when he ran into baby Tua. When I was reading the definition of that attribute, I just thought Mason Graham, Kenny Grant. It's just all about what those two guys do.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, man, you got me heated now thinking about that call. Let me throw one back at you. I'm going to give you another one of your guys, Tyler Morris. And this is an interesting one, right? Because we didn't see a whole lot of him until later in the season, and then we saw some flashes of brilliance. And so, how are you going to rate Tyler Morris in this new college football game?
I think Michigan's wide receiver one is going to be a little bit slept on heading into this season just because of the lack.
Wait.
Absolutely, buddy.
Okay. All right. Just
are you
sure.
going
just
up against
sure.
him again this year?
No.
Are you trying to
lesson.
See me in another bet, Michael?
Basket. That was not the way to go there.
But, you know, I think that he's going to come in at about an 83, right? I think that there's a lot of things that he does well that their aggregate is probably going to be able to pick up on. I think catching in traffic is one, which is one that we've already discussed about for Donovan Edwards. And then I think route running is going to be an area that he excels in. You know, a lot of experience, a high snap count in what he's had up to this point. I think that those are going to be areas where he excels in, like, the very baseline Ronnie Bell type characteristics that they're going to award to him. But other than that, I don't think that he's going to be too polished in a lot of areas as far as where this game weighs him in as. And I think that's deservedly so. He hasn't had a ton of run up to this point. But I think that he's well primed to step in as a first option as Michigan's primary wide receiving option this upcoming year.
You know, I got to give you props, Matt, because I thought you were going to, because you and me both, we pump up our Michigan guys. We're fans on this podcast. It's no secret. Like, we're not just neutral members of the media. Like, we're fans. So I thought you were going to pump up these ratings, but like, I think that's a very fair rating for Tyler Morris. I think that's pretty thoughtful the way that you broke it down. The one attribute that we saw kind of out of nowhere in that Alabama game is acceleration, right? And they define that as it determines how fast a player can reach his top speed. It appears as though Tyler Morris has better acceleration than any of us realized. He made those Alabama defenders look like they were running in quicksand for a minute when he got that Rose Bowl touchdown. So, I'm right there with you. I think 83 is a fair evaluation.
Here's an interesting one for you. Okay. Derek Moore, where do you think he's landing at?
Derek Moore is an 88.
That's pretty much exactly where I saw him also.
Yeah, and that's a good score. That's a very good score. That makes him a all Big Ten honorable mention, all Big Ten second or third team kind of a player. He's going to be and you know what? He's going to have a lot of opportunity this season. If he stays healthy, he's going to get a ton of snaps because I don't think we're going to see that four-man rotation, five-man rotation. You know, we're going to see Derek Moore and is it Josiah? Yeah. We're going to see Derek Moore and I had to think about which two went pro. Derek Moore and Josiah Stewart. We're going to see them get a lot of snaps at the edge position. So, and you know what? It's funny because like he's like an 88 overall, and I would also give him kind of like an 88 in like most of the major categories that relate to his position too. Like I look at like finesse move, right? That's the defender's ability to go around a run or pass block. Yeah, probably like an 88. Very, very good. Hit power, 88. Very good.
I think one category where I'd view him pretty high on is pursuit as well. You know, his continued ability to pursue the quarterback after the line of scrimmage has broken down. He's very good as far as that's concerned. Racked up 5 sacks for himself this year, being able to shed those blocks after, you know, he had worn down the pass blocker. So I'd rank him pretty high there as well.
Here's an X factor attribute for him. Okay, I just stumbled upon this one. This will be the make it or break it attribute for him this season. Stamina, right? The ability of a player to regain energy after each play. Players with low stamina will have to be subbed more often to perform at peak levels. And so if Derek Moore proves to have stamina, then we could even see him get into the 90s, right? He could be one of these guys that is a next level performer for Michigan. So, but for now, 88, I think that's a fair ranking.
Definitely a fair ranking. And I think what's overlooked, and you touched on it a little bit, is that him and Josiah Stewart, you know, they split so much time among Jalen Harrell and Braden McGregor last year that, you know, just imagine what those two are going to be able to do with a little bit of extended run going into next year. I think they're going to do some big things.
Speaking of big things, my next guy for you, Giovanni El-Hadi.
That's an interesting one. An interesting one because, you know, Gio hasn't played a ton up to this point. You know, he was one of those guards that was garnering as many snaps as he could, you know, the scraps, if you will, in the garbage minutes last year. But I think I'm going to put him at about an 84, I would say. I think that
he'll have
a little bit of stuff to prove, you know, entering the first leg of this season. I think that, you know, pass blocking, the pass blocker's ability to pass block is how it's defined here in our master sheet, is an area that that he'll excel in. Probably, you know, get about an 88 as far as that's concerned. And then maybe pass block footwork, I would venture to say. The pass blocker's ability to use his feet to run block. I think that he'll move really well along that line of scrimmage. as a guard, wherever they decide to put him on whichever side. And I think that he'll definitely have a ton of room to grow as the year progresses. But I think that he'll have a little bit of stuff to prove entering the first part of this season. And, you know, PFF viewed it kind of the same way in all the articles that I would write on a weekly basis at Mason Brew. He was constantly, you know, one of those guys in garbage time that was getting dinged a little bit per that aggregate. So I think that he's got a little bit of love to earn, but, you know, one of Michigan's brightest stars from that class that he came from. So I think that he'll eventually get it together and get that flow going.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I brought him up is because he's one of those guys that's a big-time question mark on this team, and we will probably need him to perform well on that line of scrimmage. So who you got next for me?
Next, I'm going to go with a newcomer, one that, you know, I myself am kind of wondering how he turns out with this Michigan squad. Jayshon Barham, where do you see the incoming Maryland transfer falling on these scores? Yeah.
You scared me when you said newcomer. I was like, oh, shit, I hope I've done my homework enough to answer this one. But no, I'm familiar with Jayshon. Very, very, very good linebacker. I'm going to give him a 90, even 90. I think he's going to be I mean, really, it's hard to tell who's going to be better, actually, between him and Ernest Hausman, which is kind of exciting. I think both of those guys could be 90s. I would probably give Barham the edge right now because he's done it in the conference already, whereas Hausman had to kind of wait behind the Michael Barrett and Junior Colson starting lineup there. So I know you didn't ask me for Hausman, but I'd probably give Hausman an 88 or 89, where Barham would be a 90. I got to watch a little bit more film of his, but he does seem to have really good pursuit, really good speed, really good tackling, really good vision. So I think he's one of those, you know, 10 to 15 guys on the Michigan team that has an opportunity to get, you know, north of that 90 mark in the NCAA player rating.
Yeah, you and I kind of saw this one pretty similarly. I have him at right around an 89, and for all the same reasons, you know, his pursuit, his play recognition. I've watched a little bit of his Maryland tape, and, you know, I get flashes, not like total flashes, but little glimpses of Devin Bush and, you know, the way that he had that ability to attack the quarterback, to get sacks, the sideline to sideline speed. Jayshon Barham, everyone remembers, intercepted JJ McCarthy last year. So the guy can make plays. I'm really excited to see what he's able to do within Michigan's defensive scheme, but I think that this will be a pretty highly rated guy on Michigan's defense going into next year.
It's funny because you remember Ernest Hausman had that great TFL against JJ, and then we're like, he can't do that, and then we just go get him, and then now Jayshon Barham interception against JJ. It's like, get him on our team. Like, anytime a linebacker makes a play against JJ, we go snag him and put him on the team.
Absolutely. Is it your turn or my turn?
I guess I got to give you one, huh? Man, we've covered. Okay, here's one. Here's one that'll be good for us to talk about. Khalil Mullings.
See, this is an interesting one for me because I've got Khalil Mullings ranked 1 point above Donovan Edwards. I had Dono at an 89. I have Khalil Mullings at a 90. I think Khalil Mullings is, you know, one of the great athletes on this Michigan team. I can't help but shake it. It might be a little bit of like the same type of belief I have in Alex Orji at play here, but I just can't help but think that Khalil Mullings is and is going to be a very dynamic playmaker for this Michigan team at some point. And I think that that this year might be a year for him as far as that goes. So Khalil Mullings, I've got him at a 90. And I've got him at 90s across the board for the two attributes that I picked. A 90 in carrying, and then a 90 in break tackle. So our list here defines break tackle as the player's ability to break tackles, you know. And I just think Khalil is just a very strong option in the Michigan running back room. A little known fact that neither him or Donovan Edwards fumbled the ball at all this year for Michigan. So I think that carrying and just kind of the basics are the major pain points for him as far as things that he's good at. And, you know, the guy really didn't display any type of weakness last year. So it's not really so much that I'm being overly favorable of him. I just didn't see too much weakness from him last year. You know, he didn't fumble the ball, averaged nearly 7 yards per carry, made several plays, you know, in the run and passing game, and overall was like very Hassan Haskins like. So I haven't seen anything negative from him yet over the last year, and I think that he's due for a big step this season.
Dude, you're not crazy. Every time I think about Mullings and Edwards, I think that Mullings could be a little bit better. It's crazy. Now, for some reason, I would rate Edwards higher than Mullings in the game. I maybe that's because of his versatility. You know, we've the pass catching and even pass throwing. But yeah, man, running between the tackles, it kind of seems like Mullings might be better than Edwards, but it's hard to tell if, you know, it's hard to tell which version of Donovan Edwards between the tackles we're going to get next season. And, but we're in good hands in that backfield. All right, let's do one more each, one more player each.
All right. All right. I'll go with, one of the more interesting additions from the last year to the, offensive playmaking fold, Samaj Morgan.
I'm so glad that's who you picked. This whole time. So when I read swagger, then swagger is defined as it determines the likelihood of a player to celebrate on the way to the end zone or after a touchdown. I was just sitting there like 99 Samaj Morgan, 99 Samaj Morgan. Like, he's nothing but swagger. As an overall player, we got to remember there's going to be receivers in the NCAA that are like Biletnikoff style receivers, like Marvin Harrison of last year, and so when you gauge him against the field like that, he's going to be a sophomore. I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be a great player. His kick returning ability is going to be great. I think his elusiveness. Ball carrier's ability to avoid being tackled. I think his elusiveness is through the roof. I just can't get him into the 90s, though. I think that that's my bias if I put him into the 90s. But I'll get him all the way up as close as I can. So I'm going to give him an 89 because I think he's going to be an absolute playmaker. Samaj Morgan, 89. I might be giving him too much credit, but I just love the guy.
I don't totally disagree with that. I've got him a little bit lower. I've got him right around an 82, just 1 point lower than Tyler Morris. I think Michigan is going to be one of those teams in the game that just has a weaker option, if you will, at both receivers just due to their inexperience. But I think that Samaj Morgan is going to be one of those players in real life and in the game, of course, that, you know, is just able to do crazy things as like an 82 level player. I think that he's going to have really high agility, the player's ability to move laterally and avoid tackles, which we saw him do a ton of last year. And then also, I think as far as awareness, you know, I have him marked high as far as awareness goes, which is defined as football intelligence, higher AWR players react, higher awareness players react more quickly to plays and are less likely to be fooled by misdirection or put themselves in better position while in zone coverage. I think that pretty clearly defines Samaj Morgan and his ability to get open and just make plays in the open field and break tackles. I think that he's going to be very good in a lot of areas as far as this season goes, and in real life and in the game. I think that he's just electric, and he's going to be able to do a lot of those same things in the upcoming game as well.
Agreed, man. And there's an attribute called juke move as well. That's another Samaj Morgan category there. So, I mean, he's going to be good. I guess you're right. Like, you got to list some of these guys. I mean, he's only a sophomore. He could potentially be prone to mistakes or penalties or turnovers. Like, you know, we saw some questionable decisions that he made towards the end of the year, but God, he's just exciting and appears to be one of those players that could really turn into an all-star type dude. So, all right, I'm going to finish this exercise the same place we started it, because I'm curious which guy you're going to give a higher rating at this position. Recently, Jack Tuttle was granted a seventh year of eligibility to come in and play quarterback at Michigan. You already gave Alex Orji an 85. What's your rating for EA Sports of Jack Tuttle?
Jack Tuttle, I'm giving him like an 82, I think. I'm giving him about
lower than Orji. See, here's my take, and not to interrupt you. I give them both an 85, but for like completely different reasons, right? Because you got to remember, I'm going to fight for Tuttle. I'm going to fight for Tuttle just for a second. You got to remember, this guy, he can run the ball too. Like, he runs like zone reads and like gets it downfield. He's not an Alex Orji runner, but he can run. And the thing we know about Tuttle is he can sit there and read a coverage and deliver a pass. And like the dude can play quarterback in the Big Ten, which is something we're not entirely sure about Alex Orji. I mean, I believe he can, but we don't really know it yet.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know, and I think that there's just some things that I need to see from him in order to bump that score up. That, you know, to that point, there's a lot of things that we haven't seen from Jack Tuttle either up to this point. You know, we've seen him manage the spring game. We've seen him do some other things in garbage time of some games. I'll tell you, there's some areas where I'm real high on the guy, like toughness. He's shown last year that he was able, you know, to take a hit earlier in the season that was a pretty rough hit, and then come back, you know, later and play some later minutes in some other games. We've seen other things from him, his ability to drive the ball downfield. You know, I think all of those things make him a really, you know, close option in opposition to Alex Orji. But in real life, I also give the edge to Alex Orji. So in the game, I'm giving a little bit of the edge to Alex Orji as well.
It's a total energy thing. I'm with you too. Like, it's like when you hear Alex Orji, you're like, let's go, Alex Orji. You hear Jack Tuttle and you're like, I guess. Like, oh, you know, okay, whatever. But I just think, like, there's something to be said about the fact that he was QB2 last year. Like, I don't know if Alex Orji actually overtook Jack Tuttle as the QB2. Like, let's say J.J. McCarthy goes down in the national championship game, the game that you and I were both at, by the way. Who's marching out onto the field to take a majority of the snaps for the rest of the game? Was it going to be Alex Orji, or was it going to be Jack Tuttle? I think it was going to be Tuttle, right?
I mean, that's definitely possible. I don't know. There's the same usual.
Maybe not.
I mean, the same usual things that I would nitpick about as a Michigan fan about any quarterback, you know, in recent memory, I would probably nitpick about with Jack Tuttle. You know, he doesn't like push the ball downfield like a ton. If you look at his career statistics, like, he's got one completion for 70 plus yards in 2021. But of the other 5 years of his career, he's never had a completion longer than 35 yards. You know, so that's kind of a hold up for me. That's like John O'Korn vibes right there. So I've seen him do great things at like other points of like the spring game and like in garbage time of other games. But I'm scared to death of a situation where we throw this guy in and, you know, he's unable to get chunk gains down the field and things like that. So that's kind of where I'm more of like at a wait and see approach with Tuttle. I think that he's shown a lot during his time with Michigan. I'm not saying anything negative against him, but you know, if you're stat watching, which sometimes you have to do with guys that haven't played a ton for your squad, then those are my holdups with looking at like numbers and things like that. But I'm giving the edge to Orgy. We'll let it ride.
I mean, we need Orgy. The best thing that could happen in that spring game that's coming up in a couple months is like the first play for Alex Orgy to just bullet a 40-yard dart to Tyler Morris, who makes like a Braylon Edwards type catch. Like if we could just see that right off the bat, like, because that's like the one thing everybody's just wondering, right? Like, do we have that? Do we have anything like that? So anyway, my friend, this was a great episode. We will be playing the new EA Sports College Football 25 game when it comes out. We're just as excited as everybody else out there. Yeah. Any closing comments this week, man? Anything fun you got going on?
Not too much, man. You know, it's real slow here in the news cycle with Michigan football. You know, I think I'll just be kicking back, spending some time with my family, enjoying this Florida weather. I know a lot of our friends up in Michigan aren't getting the nicest weather going on, but yeah, I'll just be kicking back and enjoying some of that.
I'm just sitting around waiting to have a baby, man. So we'll see. We'll see if we are even able to record next Sunday. I'll let you know. But by then, we'll have some news. You know, the news cycle never stops. And so we're going to have some news. Sharon Moore's out there making moves. We got some recruiting going on. We got some new coaches, you know, hitting the field. We're getting ready for spring football. It's still exciting for the reigning national champion Michigan Wolverines. For Matt Hartwell and Michael Smeltzer, that was the Big House Bleachers podcast. As always, go blue.
Go blue.